Lift your hands everywhere you are. Father, we worship you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Be glorified. Be honored. Thank you for your most exciting worship word and wonders night. Thank you for lives touched, destinies transformed. Be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Give the Lord a big clap of hands as you take your seat. I want to welcome everyone here this morning in the precious name of Jesus. The Bible said, this is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and we shall be glad in the day. We had the most explosive all-night healing and deliverance crusade. It was a crusade in every dimension, and we give the Lord the praise. This morning we are going to part two of secrets of resources of financial multiplication. Secrets of resources, that is financial multiplication. What are the secrets? We saw from last Monday, I'm sure we can go do a quick review. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, it said, we shall remember the Lord our God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto our fathers, as it is this day. We saw that financial dominion helps the saint to serve God without the distraction of lack. Look at the young man who just testified. Many of us will be distracted with lack if we are not financially empowered. Secondly, we saw last Sunday that financial dominion helps us to truly love our neighbors or the less privileged like ourselves. There are things you can't do for people because you have not even been able to do them for yourself if you lack financial power. Thirdly, we saw that financial dominion helps us to fulfill the dreams and visions that God has placed in our hearts. Something God wants you to do for the kingdom, or what you want to do with your own life, if you don't have financial power, you don't get them done. Fourthly, we saw that financial dominion helps us to spread God's kingdom in the earth. Crusades, outreaches, and all of the things that we do are doable by virtue of financial power. And fifthly, we saw that financial dominion helps in the building of God's sanctuaries. Such churches are built by finances, by resources, by financial power. Hallelujah. Financial dominion helps us also to serve as voices and forces for the kingdom in times of need. Look at that. Igwe was almost despised because they said, how much does he have? Billionaires came out. If not for the mercy of God, they could have edged him out because he didn't have money. But you can imagine now that you have the billions and you also have the favor of God on your life. Where is the devil that will confront you and that will say, who are you or who do you think you are? He was in that battle for almost 2 years until God saw him through. Hallelujah. So we can see the practical necessity of being a financial power. And then financial dominion serves to witness the goodness of God to the unbelieving world. Your life is more evangelistic. It has more appeal. When people can see the goodness of God in your life, it appeals more to people in terms of attracting them to God than when you are a victim of scarcity and shortage. Somebody here, scarcity shall never be your portion. If you are saying amen, say loud amen. We said that tithing and givings are good, but they were not enough if it was multiplication that was desired. heavens are open over you and all of that. But if resources must multiply, certain things must be in place. Now, we identify three of them very quickly. Please, let's move. Don't spend everything. There is always treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. Don't spend everything. Number two, we said, be investment-minded, not expenditure-minded. Poor people look for what to buy. Wealthy people look for where to invest. Thirdly, we said, we must maintain financial order. Of this money that I have, this is tithe, this is offering, this is that, it must be ordered. There must be the difference between the money that is for business and the money that is for personal use. It must be ordered. We stopped there, I believe, last week, Sunday. Maintain financial order. We are going to go to number four today and go all the way to number seven and try as fast as we can. Number four, maintain financial records. It is part of good management to maintain financial records. It is part of good management to maintain financial records. Record of income, record of outflow is good management. In John chapter 6, an interest. You see, God is so interested in records that the Bible exists for us. You see the record of genealogies. The whole book of the Bible is called Numbers. Records. In John chapter 6 verse 9 to verse 12. When there was a need for the feeding, the Bible says there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. He gave thanks. And then he went all and it multiplied. Now go to verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Verse 13. And they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, you can see the detailed record here. So, we have 3 levels of record here. First, the record of what was available. The record of the resources. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. They could have said there is a lad here that has some loaves and some fishes. But it was specified. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Then you move forward. It could have said that. Then the record of the consumers, the people. It could have said there were many people needed to be fed. It said 5,000 men. Beside women and children. That was record. Then he could have said at the end that some baskets were taken out. At the end, some food remained. He said 12 barley loaves, 12 baskets. Accuracy of records. Accuracy of records. At every point, the record was accurate. There are many of us. What entered your hand last year, 2024? You don't know. What left your hand? You don't know. The direction they went? You don't know. Records. What is the importance of records? So we had the record. Call it the record of the income of what was available. The record of the number of the consumers. And then the record of the leftover. or the record of the prophet, or the record of the outflow. All was detailed. What is the value of records? Number one, records provoke appreciation for supplies, and appreciation brings multiplication. If you don't have the exact detail of what is entering your hands, you will actually think that nothing is entering your hands. Jesus had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He gave thanks. It provokes appreciation for supplies. And appreciation brings multiplication. We saw that where we read in John chapter 6, verse 9 to verse 12. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you. I'm grateful. I'm appreciative for your supplies for my life. What a faithful God. One of the things that my wife and I do on the 31st December of every year is to present our record, income and outflow record of the whole year before God. Lord, see this year, far bigger than last year. What a faithful God you are. Appreciate him. Every single month, please sit down, every single month, what flowed in the month, what went out, all is recorded, presented again in appreciation. Records. Number two, importance of record. Records impart wisdom and caution to financial action. It imparts wisdom and caution. If you have records, you will know exactly how much has come in and how to channel them. Imparts wisdom and caution, that is, helps you to avoid financial recklessness. It avoids financial recklessness. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9, the Bible said, he also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. So, it helps you to avoid wastage. Look at that. I heard from God's servant Bishop Oyedepo many years ago that if you are careless with 1,000 naira 1,000 times, then when money was money, when you are careless with 1,000 naira 1,000 times, 1 million passed through your hands without your notice. When you are careless with 10,000 naira 1,000 times, 10 million pass through your hands without your notice. How differently will you behave if 10 million was given to you together? If the 10 million came together? So in the course of the records, you put down. So last month you saw what entered your hand. You say, 10 million entered my hands and I cannot account for 5 million or 8 million and I don't know what I did with it. This month I'll be more vigilant. And then as they are coming, you are both recording and then directing them where to go. You are avoiding wasteful expenditure. If you will record your resources, you will be amazed how much waste happens. What you call change at times, try and look for somewhere in your house and be putting the change. And then come back some time later, maybe a month or 2 months later, and look and put the change together. You'll be shocked. Those were the fragments that the Bible talked about that were gathered together and became 12 baskets. Is God speaking to anybody here today? Some time ago, we needed to do something very, very massive. And this account, that account, this account, this one has how many thousand there, this one has how many thousand. It didn't look like anything. When they were pulled together, so this kind of resources available, but they are here and there. Very, very important. Records brings financial, impart wisdom and caution to financial action. So ensure that you maintain financial records. Number five, do what you know. Know what you do. If you are going to be financially successful and have the multiplication of resources, do what you know and then know what you do. When you do business in the area of your ignorance, you are practically literally doing business for losses. When you trade in the area of your ignorance, you are trading likely for losses. Do what you know. Know what you do. Many years ago, around, I think we said season 4 or something, I don't know what we were doing around there. And a man brought something to me to sell. He was telling me, I say, what is it? He does not know. What does it do? He could not tell. But he knows, he was told. I said, have you used it yourself before? He said, no. I said, okay, see you later. Bye. You are trying to market what you know nothing about. Please note two things. One, the area of your knowledge is the area of your strength. You have heard that knowledge is strength. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 5. He said, a wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. The area of your knowledge is the area of your strength. And strength is needed to retain riches. Strength is needed. Proverbs 11:16. He said, a gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. The area of your knowledge is the area of your strength. Very important. If you have medical knowledge, that is your strength area. You have financial knowledge, that is your strength area. You have legal knowledge, it will be your strength area. The area of your knowledge. You have knowledge about foods and beverages, it's your strength area. You have knowledge in the area of fashion, it's your strength area. The area of your knowledge is the area of your strength. Somebody say aloud, amen. Secondly, it's important to note that the area of your wisdom or expertise is the area of your profitability. The area of your wisdom or expertise is the area of your profitability. Where you are wise, where you are an expert, that is where you will profit. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and in verse 10. The Bible said, if the iron be blunt and it does not sharpen the edge, then must he put to it more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Hallelujah. Wisdom is profitable. Where there is wisdom, there is profitability. Where are you wise? There you can connect your wealth. Am I communicating? That is why you don't struggle to do everything everybody is doing. Identify where you are wise. Identify where you are strong. A pharmacist decides to go into drug production. That's the area of his knowledge and wisdom and strength. A doctor decides to set up a hospital, and he has probably managerial and human resources and financial management skills on top of that. He expects to explode. All things being done well. At times, the area where you know might not be the area of what you studied in school, but you are just knowledgeable there. Many years ago, a woman came to church. This will be like 20-something years ago, area one church where 5 children she has. Husband abandoned her to take care of 5 children. And some men are wonderful. They can do what? Let me just leave there for now. Until we go to... Men, I mean, you gave birth to 5 children with a woman. Your wife. You hate the woman. You also hate your children. And abandoned the man. She was left alone to take care of children. She was in debt. She was having a shop at UTC at that time. Rent had expired. She was giving quit notice. I was talking with her. I said, what do you know how to do? She said she knows how to cook. She didn't read catering, but she can cook. And that when she was married and her husband and herself were together, that people will eat her food, husband's friends and visitors, they will eat, lick their hands, almost wash the plate by licking it. That was how serious she was as a cook. And she feels she can do that. So I prayed with her. She started that food. She started with aluminium foils. She will cook and take it from office to office. People will eat and introduce themselves to other people. Took them to a bank. The bank invited her to come and set up a restaurant there. One bank came. You see the way banks go to banks. So from one bank, they came to another bank to do some transaction, ate in this restaurant, and invited her to come and open again in their own bank. Within 3 months, she bought the shop that she couldn't pay the rent for. She bought it. Within 3 months, she bought the shop that she couldn't pay the rent for. Why? She decided to do what she knew. Not necessarily what she studied in school, but she knew it. And her money was inside her area of knowledge. Am I communicating? Don't be married to any particular line of anything. Just know what you do. And as you do it with knowledge. Somebody understand what I'm saying? Say it loud, amen. Now, look at the example of Isaac. Isaac prospered in animal husbandry, along with irrigation farming. Genesis 26, verse 13, verse 12. Isaac sowed in that land. And then in verse Kenan. So, but verse 19, they told us about Isaac digging a well, and then he's the headsman of Gerar and the headsman of Isaac. And so Isaac had headsmen. He was rearing cattle. Where did Isaac learn cattle rearing from? He grew up in a cattle rearing family. Am I communicating at all? He was born into it. So rearing of cattle was natural. There are those that may need to pay attention. No, in the Bible, they say this family are family of Tubal Cain, they are family of instrumentalists. This one is the family of husbandmen. This one is the family of Smiths. How many of you saw that in scripture? Family by family, at times, you see certain things that people were raised and know to do. What do you know? At times, it is good to pay attention to what is like the wisdom of your line. Apart from God revealing certain things to you, if you will do what you know, And then you know what you do. It will compel resources in your direction. Somebody say aloud, amen.
A young man in this church suddenly is exploding financially in a particular line of business. And I felt uncomfortable. So I said, it's a bit too sudden for me. What's happening? And he explained blow by blow by blow. Clear explanation. He said he had had interest in that line of business for a while. Growing up. So he decided to go around people who did that business. Hung around them. Studied them. Saw what they did. Then he learned many things. He learned from their successes and from their failures. How to do it, how not to do it. So he stepped out on his own. And almost bam. Just exploded. 1 million naira, tight, a week, a day. Do you understand that kind of thing? Just exploded. Please. If you have decided that anything is your line of business or line of professional line, take the time to learn that trade very well. Learn it. Don't just look for money. Learn the trade. Learn it. Read books around it. Ask questions around those who do it well. Somebody say aloud, amen. Do what you know. Know what you do. Is anybody get anything here? Say loud amen. Number 6. Invest in areas of human need. Study human needs. Find human needs. Meet them. You won't lack. Invest in areas of human need. What people need. And what they will need continuously, constantly. If you go through scriptures. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. When that prophet's widow had a challenge. He said, go get vessels, empty vessels. Borrow not a few. When you are coming, shut the door upon you and begin to fill the vessels. That is what meeting needs are. Look for vacancies, fill them. Look for vacancies, fill them. We live in a world where everybody wants to do the same thing. Everybody wants to do the same thing. Look for vacancies, fill them. In John chapter 2 and in verse 6, there were empty pots and there were six water pots of stone. After the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said, fill the water pots. There is always empty pot. There are empty places on the earth. There are vacuums that need to be filled. Everywhere. Even in the line of your tree. In the online space, vacuums are there to be filled. Vacuums. Find them. In 2 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 16, he said, make this valley full of ditches. Make this valley full of ditches. And when there is an empty space, where there is an empty vacuum, it will be filled. That is how the online billionaires made themselves. This one said, let me make a site where people can display their this and that. This one said, let me make online business and make it easy for people to buy and sell without. All manner. They just identified what will solve several problems. A site for people to watch films and all of that. All manner. And in the Christian sense, you can do the same. Please, let me say 2 things and here, bear them in mind. Number 1, supply miracles happen. When you deploy, or when we deploy our resources to fill vacuums, meet needs, or provide solutions. Again, supply miracles happen. When you deploy your resources to fill up vacuums, meet needs, or provide solutions. That is what all I have said so far in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. And then in John chapter 2, verse 6. And then in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. Supply miracles happen. So you find the needs. Oh, at close of work, people are always stranded on so and so route. At the close of work, people are always stranded looking for vehicle. If God gives you the money, buy buses or bus, put it on that route to just help the people, relieve them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Accommodation is a major challenge in Abuja and in most of the cities. People have money, but they cannot pay for 2 years. They don't have enough money. You make what they can pay for available and make it tight and solid to meet the needs. You can even run your own mortgage, not government's one. Pay gradually for the next 10 years. Pay gradually for the next 20 years. Right? At the end of the day, you own the house. If somebody was your tenant and he paid you $5 million in a year, and he has been your tenant for 20 years, that is, he has paid $20 million. If the house was worth $50 million, and he has already paid you $100 million, 5 times 20. Is it bad if he owns the house later? It doesn't do you nothing. You have solved a generation's problem. The man has a house with his family. You made your money already. Before you finish this one, you have started building somewhere else. You have solved many problems for humankind. And at the end of the day, you made your money. See, it was Conrad Russell Conwell, the founder of Temple University. He said, if anybody will love their neighbor like themselves, you won't be a poor person. That is, you are genuinely interested in people. This scenario I just described, he paid you $5 million for 20 years. That's $100 million. And at the time he started living in your house, maybe it was worth $20 million or $30 million. You decided that this man shouldn't be a tenant for life. Let me make life easy for him. And you did that for him, and you made some money. And that is what leads me to point number two. To walk in love is to walk in God. And to walk in God is to walk in the overflow. You walk in love, you walk in God. You walk in God, you walk in the overflow. Because everything about God overflows. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8 said, God is love. What do I mean? The miracle that happened at the wedding in Cana of Galilee was a miracle where somebody was concerned for others. Mary, the mother of Jesus, loved the people, the bride, the groom, and the guests so much that she didn't want people to live there without having water to drink. Jesus said, this crowd of people with us, let them not go away hungry. Give them something to eat. That was love speaking. And as that love operated, the love exploded. The love exploded in supernatural supplies. 12 baskets. If you will love people like yourself, and your aim is not just to make money off people, but to meet practical needs that people have. You are meeting practical needs people have. Housing needs. Food, feeding needs. Clothing needs. You are just practically meeting the needs. They will thank you for it and part with the money that is needed for that service. And you win and they won. Am I communicating? Is it making sense to anybody at all? Is it making sense to anybody at all? When you make the difference, you must make the income. Make the difference in the life of the people. Just make the difference. Don't struggle to make the income first. Just struggle to make the difference. And when you make the difference, you must make the income. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. If anybody is learning anything from here at all, shout the loudest amen. Anybody learning anything from here at all, shout the loudest amen. Say, Father. Say after me, say, Father, open my eyes to identify areas of human needs. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Say aloud, amen. Let me tell you the story of Ike. Ike Isikechukwu. Ike. Ike came from Onitsha to Otukpo at the end of the Civil War, about 1970. My father was a lorry transport owner, and there were many lorry transport owners in town. And when, in those days, when the engine knocks, they pack it aside and buy a new engine. They didn't know that the engine was not was repairable. So I came from Onitsha, and he said, and he saw them, many vehicle owners, engine knock, pushed aside, engine knock, pushed aside. And he said, what is happening? He said, the engine has knocked, so they have to buy a new one. I said, no. It's repairable. He said, really? So he repaired engine number one, repaired engine number two, repaired engine number three. At the first, when he was repairing the engine, they said to him, how much is the amount for this repair? Says, no, test it first. This is for free. Wow. That was how everybody got a new lease of life. So I don't have to buy a new engine anymore. And then, before long, the man got established, became a spare parts dealer, became everything. As at the last time I knew him, that church had started, I was coming, and I saw, was talking, and I was very happy. As at that time, he was already dealing internationally. Importer of heavy-duty machines, children are all schooling abroad, all manner. That was a man who didn't come to the people to make money. He came to solve a problem. He came to provide an answer. He came to fill in a vacuum. And that vacuum launched him into supplies. Don't look at how to take advantage of people. Look at how to give advantage to people. And that advantage you give to them will give you advantage. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't look at how to take advantage of people. Look at how to give advantage to people. Look at how to make a difference in the life of people. Look at how to change the lives of people. And that you do will just catapult you and skyrocket you. I see change happening for somebody. What you can see is, Father, open my eyes to needs that others haven't seen. Needs that I can meet. Open my eyes to answers that I can give that others haven't seen. Open my eyes to solutions. Even in areas where they are meeting is current areas. In housing, banking and finance and all of that. What can I do differently to help people more? And then you do that and you explode. Somebody say aloud, amen. Don't forget, invest in areas of people of human needs. I mean, at the time of the day where there is a lot of challenge, people are in need of water. The heat is so strong. Things like people who permanently need water, permanently need food, permanently need cloth, permanently need medications, drugs. And these days, people will permanently need to talk. Are you know what I'm saying? When you look at those areas where needs are permanent, that is, people will permanently need this, and you deploy in that direction, scarcity will be far from you. Somebody say a loud amen. Finally, for this morning and for this service, And so in conclusion on this point, give satisfaction and don't just struggle for remuneration. Just give satisfaction. Let people be satisfied with what you do, with what you offer, what you use. And give maximum satisfaction. It will return back to you with massive remuneration if you do so. Hallelujah. Finally, for today, number 7, engage multiple channels of inflow as much as possible. Multiple channels of inflow. People have various thoughts about this, but we have scriptural thought. And the major thought about this is, it is what the people say, don't put all your eggs in a basket, is saying. Other people think that you can put your eggs in a basket and watch the basket. But I will tell you what it is. What is the meaning of that? Engage multiple channels of inflow where possible. Meaning, if all you are doing with your life is to hang, maybe let's say, on salary, if that salary is under attack, or like it is in our nation today and in various states, where there is an arrest of that flow of salary, you are stranded. If all you do is just one thing, and for any reason that thing is under attack, you are stranded. You are a contractor. All you do is contract. If for any reason the payment is delayed, or the government or the authorities change, and they come with other laws and rules and things like that, or somebody thinks that he was not the one who awarded you the contract, whatever, then you are stranded. Let's understand this quickly. I'll say two things and then I'll... Why multiple channels? One, to ensure that you are not held to ransom by the failure of any particular channel of income. You are not held to ransom. Why multiple channels? A channel or two. To ensure that you are not held to ransom by the failure of any particular channel of income. We saw that in Elijah's life. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7 to verse 8. 1 Kings 17, 7 to verse 8. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. You see? That is, this particular channel has dried. So once in a while, there may be issues, challenges, not that you did anything about. Maybe naturally, something came under attack, or something came under, or the business in that line became very slow. Then you are not stranded. There is another channel. Move to this other side. Go to Zarephath. That is, a channel may dry up. But once you are not tied to just one channel, your life cannot dry up. Can somebody say loud amen? Can somebody say loud amen? Can somebody say loud amen? Is God speaking to somebody at all? Say louder, amen. Is God speaking to somebody at all? Say louder, amen. Is God speaking to anybody at all? Shout the loudest, amen. Am I communicating at all? Am I wasting my time? Am I wasting your time? All right. Secondly, why multiple channels? Multiple channels ensure or guarantees rapid increase, rapid resources increase and multiplication. Rapid resources increase and multiplication. Once you are tied to just a channel, you can add resources. But once you are tied to many channels, you multiply resources. You see? Once it is a channel, you can add. Your income is adding on top. But once it is multiple, you multiply the resources. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's like the Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and in verse 30, that one shall chase 1,000, and two is not chasing 2,000. It is 10,000. If one chase 1,000, you thought that two chase 2,000. But one is chasing 1,000, and two has multiplied the impact, and it became 10,000. Hallelujah! Americans will say, I'm preaching good here. Hallelujah! Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is how it is. You have supply and contract business you are doing. They paid you. You profited like 100 million or 200 million. After you have done covenant practices, you got like two or three or more, depending on the money. State of the art vehicles for Bolt or Uber service or whatever it is. That is on the road, streaming resources daily. Whereas, from contract to contract, you have this stream coming. Maybe you increase it. Maybe it becomes 50. Maybe it becomes 100. 5-star restaurant somewhere in town, where people book online to come in the daytime. All manner. Your life is not tied down, so that if the government does anything, you are not affected. If an organization shakes, you are not shaken. Am I communicating? But what I'll say is, ensure that you do everything within your management capacity. Don't establish things that you have no management capacity. That is, you have 10 businesses and you cannot manage too effectively. Don't do that. But ensure that your life is not tied down by one thing, one string. And I believe that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Anybody got anything here? Say loud, amen. So it ensures that increase, resources increase and multiply rapidly. Wealth can be added by one stream, but it is multiplied by many channels. I just gave you the example now. Look at the Isaac's channel. Isaac had at least two channels of income. Genesis 26, 13, and 19. All right. Let's look at 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. So number one, Isaac was a farmer, an irrigation farmer. That is a crop farmer. We see that one with Isaac. Then you move and you go to verse 18, 19, 20. And the herdsman and Isaac. All right, move on. And the herdmen of Gerar, this tribe with Isaac's herdmen. So apart from crop farming, Isaac was also into animal husbandry. So he was farming the earth and also rearing the animals. So he exploded. If the crop failed, the animal is there. If the animal failed, he has his farm. And of course, I just told you about Elijah. Elijah, when the brook dried, he couldn't dry because God sent him to another channel. He said, move this way and you will have enough. I believe that somebody
has heard something today, my God will open your eyes, open your understanding to see what you need to do and to do it well. What have we said today? Maintain financial records. We have said that today. And secondly, what else did we say? Do what you know and know what you do. Don't do business in the area of total ignorance. Number six, said invest in areas of human need. And number seven, engage multiple channels of inflow. The Lord bless you. Can you stand up on your feet? Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Should that prophecy return back to sender? The Lord bless you. The Lord open your eyes. The Lord give you wisdom in financial management. Wisdom in financial records. The discipline to know where to do business. In the name of Jesus. The Lord open your eyes to see the needs of human beings that need to be met. In the name of Jesus. The Lord show you the channels of inflow, channels of income that will bring you resources. In Jesus' precious name. Someone bless, say amen. Someone bless, shout the Lord and say amen. Lift up your hands and give Him the praise, give Him the honor, give Him the adoration. Father, we worship You. Father, we honor You. Father, we adore You. Father, we magnify You. Father, we glorify You. Thank You, Master. Thank You, El Shaddai. Thank You, Elion. Thank You, Ancient of Days. We worship You. We honor You. We thank You. Blessed be Your name. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands and say after me, say, Father. Louder, say, Father. Thank You for Your word to me today. Thank You for speaking to me today. Help me, Lord, with the discipline of financial management to maintain financial order, to maintain
financial records,
to know what I do,
to invest
in areas
of human need,
and to engage multiple channels of inflow as much as possible. Help me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Father, we give You the praise.